We're kicking off a series today here at Celebration Church called Choosing Well. Choosing Well. And how many of you know that life is really about choices? It's about choices. And our lives and where we are today pretty much is the sum total of the choices that we've made in the past. And you know, God's given us the ability to choose well. He's given us the ability to make the right choice. He wants us to make the right choice in life. But how many of you, just like me, have just made some bonehead, what in the world was I thinking choices in your life up to this point? You know what I'm saying? I'm just talking. You look back and you're like, what was I thinking, man? What in the world was I doing? Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, God says, today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice that you make. Look at God's heart here. Oh, that you would choose life, that you and your descendants might live. And for the next few weeks here at Celebration Church, we're going to be talking about how to choose well, how to make the right choices. We're going to be talking about marriage for you singles. We're going to be talking about dating, parenting, career, life, friendships, all those different arenas in life where our choices are really, really crucial. And thank goodness that God gives us what I call a God grid. Everybody say the God grid. He gives us a grid that we can filter our choices and decisions through so that we can make the right choices. And the Bible says that whatever we sow, we reap. And just like many of us in our past, we've made some poor choices. And because of that, maybe we're reaping some negative consequences today. We can today, right now, that's why the Bible says in that verse there in Deuteronomy 30, 19, it says, look, today, God's saying, look, yesterday's over. It's all about today. You can start choosing well today, and you can start reaping the benefits of some wise choices. And you can get some positive momentum in your life. Just like the scripture says there, instead of cursings, you can start reaping blessings. Instead of death, you can start reaping life. And that's the great thing about God, that no matter how many bonehead, what in the world was I thinking choices that we've made, today God can begin to turn it all around. And know that God can work through our mistakes. He can work through the poor choices that we've made. But look, he wants us to make wise choices. Did you see that in the heart of God right there? He said, man, oh, God's saying, oh, please, please choose life. Make the right choice. Make the right decision. And Jesus, in Matthew chapter 4, how many of you know that Jesus is just the master? You know what I'm saying? I mean, Jesus gives us a great example here in Matthew chapter 4 about how to choose well. And once again, you know, we've said things we shouldn't have said. We've gone places we shouldn't have gone. We've done things that we shouldn't have done. We've made marital mistakes, parenting blunders, dating disasters. How many of you are ready to start making some good choices in your life and reaping the benefit of those good choices? And here's the deal. We live in a troubled world. No one's perfect. Can you believe that Jesus never made a bad choice? Is that unbelievable? He was perfect. He never made a poor choice. He always chose well. And even though, you know, you're not going to bat 1,000 with all of your choices, you can minimize your poor choices by putting them through the God grid. And Jesus gives us the God grid right here in Matthew chapter 4. Where the devil's going to come in and he's going to tempt Jesus and he's going to give Jesus some opportunities or some choices to make here. And so we need to see how Jesus makes these choices and apply this same God grid to our lives. Look what it says here in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came to him and said, if you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. But Jesus told him, no, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple and said, if you're the Son of God, jump off, for the scriptures say he will order his angels to protect you. They will hold you up with their hands so that you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Jesus responded, the scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God. Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. I will give it all to you, he said, if you kneel down and worship me. How many of you know the devil's grasping for straws right here? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, he's running out of options here. But he knows that one of Jesus' goals was to restore the kingdoms of the world. Remember, man had those. Man lost that dominion when he chose to sin. He knew that one of Jesus' goals was to restore the kingdoms of the world back to the dominion of man and obviously ultimately to him and his Father. So Satan says, look, you can do it right now. I'll give them all to you right now. You just have to bow down and worship me. Verse 10, Jesus says, get out of here, Satan. For the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil went away and the angels came and took care of Jesus. Jesus gives us a very powerful God grid. And not only does he give us a very powerful God grid, in other words, a grid or a filter that we can apply to our own lives to help us make wise decisions and to choose well. Not only that, but I believe the state, the mental, the physical, and the emotional state that Jesus was in also teaches us a lesson. I want you to think about this. Jesus had fasted for 40 days. Not in a house with air conditioning, you know what I'm saying, drinking fruit juices and organic lattes. Okay? Jesus was out in the wilderness, bro. In the desert, man, in the heat. I mean, for 40 days. I mean, I guess he's sleeping out in a cave somewhere. He's drinking water, you know, out of a mud puddle or maybe some kind of river or something like that. He is exhausted. He is physically exhausted. He is starving. He's been outside. You can imagine the physical exhaustion. You can imagine the mental exhaustion. Even spiritually, for that long, that type of sacrifice, being on a fast that long, he's just kind of at the end of himself. And lo and behold, he's at the end of himself. And the devil says, okay, look, his emotions, you know, his feelings, he's hungry. Okay, I'm going to come in right now. I'm going to give him some choices to make. And man, the devil wanted Jesus to make some poor choices. So what does he do? He comes right in there and he gives Jesus a choice to make that appeals to his feelings. Comes right and he says, hey, Jesus, if you're the Son of God, man, you got to be hungry. You got to be starving. But guess what? You're the Son of God. You can turn these stones into bread. In other words, come on, Jesus, don't you feel it? And what does our culture say? What is our word? This is what the world teaches us about how to choose. What? If it feels good, do it. Man, surely you can't go wrong with your feelings. Or how about this one? Come on, Oprah, just follow your heart. Just follow your heart. If it feels right, it must be right. How many of you know Jesus felt like eating? What's hunger? It's a natural desire. Surely he felt right. I mean, yeah, this feels so right. Surely. You know, God wants me to just think about the kind of bread Jesus could have made. I'm telling you, God knows how to make some bread. He's not going to make no white loaf, whatever. I mean, he's going to throw down with some of that manna. You know what I'm saying? It's like a Cinnabon, like a donut. And if we make choices in life by our feelings, if it feels right, do it. If it feels good, do it. I'm telling you, you are going to live in a world of regret. We were never created to make choices by our feelings. But what is Jesus? What is the first filter that Jesus starts to apply with all these choices? Did you see the common denominator there in all three of them? What does it say? The scriptures say, in other words, the first and the foundational thing in how we choose well, how we make choices and decisions. Like Jesus, we have to say, what do the scriptures say? Not what our feelings say. Not what our heart's telling us. You know, or let your conscience be your God. Your conscience? What? Let me help you out here. Guess what? Before I surrendered my life to Jesus, number one, I didn't even have a conscience. And even after I became a Christian, it was seared for several years. The Bible says our consciences can be seared, man. Our feelings can lead us to strife. Follow your heart. Feelings, well, what do you feel like? Well, I feel like smoking pot. I mean, surely it just feels like so natural, man. Man, there's nothing you light up a dude, man. It's me and nature, man. This is the stuff, man. Look at the birds and the trees, man. But what do the scriptures say? Well, so well, you don't understand, man. You don't understand about my wife and man, what she did and this. But what do the scriptures say about how we should treat our wives? About how we should love them, about how we should honor them. Well, so well, you don't understand my husband, man. And man, you talk about bonehead decisions. You're talking about what in the world was he thinking decisions? But what do the scriptures say about honoring and respecting your husband? Or you're single, you know, and you're dating this person, and it's just like, you know, we know what the scriptures say about being unequally yoked. So you don't understand. I just know it just feels so right, the way he treats me. You know, he doesn't believe in God, and no, he doesn't like church, and he really doesn't like you. But it just feels so right. I'm following my heart. You know, he's only running guns between here and Miami. It's only a regional operation. But what do the scriptures say? And understand that every choice, there's no such thing as a private choice. There might be a personal choice, but every choice that you make, it affects someone else. It affects your family. It affects your friends. Our choices are intertwined and interlocked. And that's why it's so important. You know, this person hurts you or this thing happened to you and man, you're living with that pain and man, you want to get them back. But what do the scriptures say about forgiveness? Well, they don't deserve it. And I, you know, if it feels good, do it, right? Well, I just feel like punching him. Can you imagine if we actually lived by that? If we actually made choices based on following our heart, if it feels good, do it, and letting our conscience be our guide? Unfortunately, did you know, in our culture in America, those are the three main ways that people make decisions. And that's why there's so much regret. There are so many, as a pastor, I hear so many times, I hear the if onlys. Still, if only I didn't meet up with that person. If only I didn't have that affair. If only I wouldn't have got involved with those people. If only I would have just stayed. But if only. And you know, even though you might have some if onlys in your life, do you know that God can still work through your if onlys? That's why, look, aren't you glad? That's why the scripture here, God's just saying, look, it's a safe bet that yesterday and all the days of your past, you've made a lot of poor decisions. That's why God says in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, he starts it off with this. He says, today, look, you can have a fresh start. God is the God that can turn it all around. God is the God that can restore. God is the God that can heal. Even though you've gotten off God's path, God can put you right back on the path that he has for your life. Know that God can do a miracle. Know that God can turn it around, but it's got to start with today, man. It's got to start with choosing well today. And if you choose well today, there's a scripture that the Apostle Paul talks about. He says, look, forgetting those things which are behind, we press forward. Everybody say press forward. We press forward. Or in other words, we plow, we pioneer, we press forward to the high call of God in Christ Jesus. The way that you press forward is starting right now by choosing well and applying the God grid to the choices that you make. And as you apply the God grid and you start to make good choices, whatever you sow, you reap. All of a sudden, as the scripture says, you'll start reaping blessings. You'll put yourself in a position for the supernatural. You'll put yourself in a position for the purposes of God. You'll put yourself in a position to get healed. You'll put yourself in a position for God to turn that thing around. Man, God is not through with you yet. Don't give up. But let's choose right. So the first thing, it's what do the scriptures say? The second thing, so that's kind of flies in the face of if it feels good, do it, because Jesus certainly felt like eating. He was very hungry. But the scriptures say, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So here's what the devil does. How many of you know the devil knows the Bible too? Okay, so here's what the devil does. By the way, we're clear on that, right? We're cool. There's a real heaven, real hell, real God, real devil. It's better to believe that now than find out about that later the hard way, okay? So, we're a Bible-believing church. We preach the whole counsel of God, okay? We can't just take, I don't really like Matthew chapter 4, but Stovall, I do like Matthew 9. Man, Genesis 2 is great. I don't know about Revelations 2. Jesus is showing here, watch, many times it is the enemy. And I'm not saying, the devil himself, but understand his principalities and powers and spiritual forces of wickedness and how the enemy can move through the lust of the flesh, the lust of eyes, and the pride of life and so forth. And many times a choice is presented before us, and it is a temptation. And so the devil's thinking, okay, Jesus is going to go. He's applied the first and the most important God grid, what do the scriptures say? But here comes the devil, and the devil knows the Bible too, so he comes back with this. Well, the scriptures say you can throw yourself off this mountain because the scriptures say that the angels of God are going to protect you, and it says this in Psalms, and they're going to hold you up, and you're not going to get hurt. Your foot's not even going to hit against the stone, but watch this. Even though the scriptures say it, there's another God grid, another filter that you need to apply in your choices, and that is this. Does it fulfill the law of love? The greatest commandment, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself. Did you know that every miracle that Jesus did in the Bible, it was to help or to serve somebody else? He never did a miracle just to show off. He never did a miracle just for himself. And so the enemy comes in. He says, the scriptures say you can jump off a cliff because the angels are going to protect you. But what Jesus was saying, the scriptures say that. However, that is a misapplication of that scripture. See, it's not only what the scriptures say, but the appropriate application of that scripture. The Bible says that Judas went out and hanged himself. Please don't do that. Do you see? There are so many things that we can take out of context in the Word of God, and that's why we always have to take the Scriptures and put them through the filter of, does this fulfill the law of love? Yes, Jesus could have jumped off the mountain, called down some lightning bolts, done a pose, had the angels coming, holding up. But guess what? That miracle would have been all about himself. It wasn't to serve anyone. It wasn't to help anyone. This is what Jesus was talking about on the Sabbath. Remember when the Pharisees were saying, the scriptures say, we're not going to do this, keep the Sabbath holy. That was their interpretation. That was their application. But Jesus healed people on the Sabbath. He helped people on the Sabbath. He was applying the scriptures appropriately through the law of love. And that's where we get into following our heart. Many times we just say, I'm following my heart. You know who your heart's out to protect? You. You know who your heart's out to serve? You. You know what the Bible says about our hearts before they're surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ? They're deceitfully wicked. And there's no cure. How many of you know your heart just has a, we can justify anything. Do you see what I'm saying? And what Jesus was teaching us here in this second way that he makes choice is, yeah, I could do this miracle, but I'm not loving anyone with that miracle. This miracle would just be all about me. It would be all about me showing off. It doesn't help. It doesn't serve anything. Remember, the choices that you make, though they might be in the Bible, you know, they're scriptural and things like that. You also, how does this affect my wife? How does this affect my family? Or maybe it's a little bit unclear, and you got to put it through that filter of the law of love. Is this the best thing for my family? Is this the best thing for my kids? How is this decision going to affect those? How is this choice going to affect those around me? Is this choice only benefiting me? Or does this choice operate under the law of love, and it's going to benefit and serve and help others? Can I have a good amen to that? So it's, what do the scriptures say? Does it fulfill the law of love? And the last thing here, does it fit my purpose? Does it fit my purpose? And this was the final. This was the final grid, or this is the final filter that Jesus put on this as he was tempted by the enemy and he had these choices to make. Finally, the devil came to him and he said, okay, how about this, Jesus? I know that one of your goals is to come to earth and take the kingdoms, you know, and give man back his dominions and restore the earth eventually, you know, to your father and all that. I know you're after all this. I know that is a personal goal of yours, Jesus. So here's the deal. You can fulfill this personal goal. You don't have to go to any of the trouble. In other words, here's a shortcut. Here's your personal goal. I'm backing away. Just worship me. You can have it. Goal accomplished. Way to go. But guess what? Even though that was a personal goal or a goal of Jesus' mission, his mission had a much bigger picture. It wasn't just about taking back the kingdoms of the world from the enemy. You know what? It was about saving you. It was about redeeming you. It was about delivering you. It was about giving you eternal life and kicking the devil's tail in the process. And that's the other thing when we're making choices. Okay, maybe this choice, maybe it fits one of my goals, but what about the big picture? What about the big picture of my purpose? We know if I take this job has more money. I mean, that's a goal that I have. But how does this job, this career, this what, how does this fit in the big picture of my purpose? How does it fit in with my family? How does it fit in with my kids? What's the give and take here? How's it going to affect if we move over here? What's it going to do if as I uproot my family? If I go down this path and do that, okay, yes, this is a goal of mine, but how does it fit into my other goals? How does it fit into my purpose? How does it fit into my mission? The three most crucial choices that you will ever make in your life are who's your Lord, which, by the way, everybody has one. It's just a matter of who you choose, either Jesus or yourself or money or whatever else. We're created to worship. The second thing is, who's your spouse? Okay, if you're thinking, did you marry the wrong person? If you're married to him, the answer is no. Some of you are like, oh man. They're the right person now. Yay. And the third thing is that choice of, you know, My purpose, fulfilling my mission, who God's called me to be. Three most crucial choices you can make. And we all in our lives, as we face choices, just like God does, when he says, oh, that you would choose life and live. What if from this day forward, every choice that you had, you put it through the God grid. You would say, okay, what do the scriptures say? And a lot of things are gray and things, okay, well, okay, so there's the black and white, there's the obvious. I'm going to do what the scriptures say. But then secondly, okay, does this fulfill the law of love? Is this choice, is this just about me? How is it going to affect others, my friends, my family, my kids, my wife? How's it going to affect others? Am I putting others first? Does it fulfill the law of love, or is this just about me? And then the third thing is, does this fit my purpose? Is this moving me forward in the purposes of God and who I think my mission and who I think God has called me to be? Not just fulfilling one goal, but the big picture of the purposes of God in my life. What do the scriptures say? Does it fulfill the law of love? Does it fit my purpose? What do the scriptures say? Does it fulfill the law of love? And does it fit my purpose? The three main pillars of the God grit. What if, from this moment forward, you chose well? Can you imagine what your life would look like in pretty much a relatively short amount of time by beginning to choose well and make choices based on what do the scriptures say? Does it fulfill the law of love? And does it fit my purpose? God wants you to make the right choice. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to experience life. Choose well. Let's pray.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.